Secondly, a church, well, when I say proclaim, I'm saying that every one of us, whichever branch or nation is represented here, needs to look into the future with the mind to proclaim, to reach people. I didn't want to put figures in what I'll share today. We would hope that South Africa, Nigeria, Ghana, Namibia, Dublin, and here in the UK will send us later figures saying, we believe God that in the next 20 years, this is the number of people we're looking forward to see in our church. And with that vision, we will then put figures to it. So I'll just go through the vision with you, and then later when we have put all the flesh to it, we'll make it available to everyone and put it in a public place in this building, and which will mean also in all the buildings where KRCC worships, to say this is where we are going in the next 20 years. Amen. So proclaiming the word, reaching people. When we say reaching, it means really going beyond every limitation. Then equipping people. Numerically, we need to equip people to, and this means not just five people, two people continuing to be leaders. If I come to a branch this year and it's the same leaders every year, it means something is not happening. There has to be a continuity of growth numerically in the proclamation of the word, in reaching people, in equipping people to become, in assimilating. In other words, the number of people we assimilate as workers, as leaders, as members, we need to increase. This is the way we can really become the mighty voice God wants us to be for him on earth in the name of Jesus. So we need to be a proclaiming church, a reaching church, an equipping church, an assimilating church that is numerically assimilating more people. If people keep coming and going out, it means there is a problem, and you cannot keep blaming them, and you cannot keep saying, oh, it must be because they just cannot cope with our style. We are a strong church. You shouldn't be so strong people can't stay. The whole purpose of the body of Christ is to build people for Christ, to bring them, build them, and bind them to Christ. So assimilating them, then committing people, making them to become disciples. Commitment must be the number one thing we see when a convert gives his life to Christ. If you see that person as one who one day will become a committed believer, then they must numerically make where we worship their home. They need to make the church their home. Spiritually, KRCC is in the next 20 years. We want to believe that will be a place where people have been brought to Christ spiritually. They have been built for Christ spiritually. And they are being bound to Christ. Again, when the churches respond to this, because we are going to ask you to respond, we don't want you to say, oh yeah, we will build people, we'll bring people. We want to see how many people you believe God will be brought each year. There has to be figures. That way there is something to quantify and to expect. Bringing them, building them, and binding them to Christ. Spiritually, we want to prepare people for eternity. Heaven is real. Hell is real, and no matter what we minister to people, we must not become too earthly minded. We are of no heavenly use. The whole purpose of Christianity is to eventually finish in Christ. Praise God. The true purpose of man is to know him, worship him, and serve him. That's the true purpose of man. Never forget that definition. The true purpose of man is to know him, worship him, and serve him. Every other thing is addition. No matter how blessed the man is, it's addition. The true purpose of man is to know God, worship him, and to serve him. Spiritually, we are to teach people to walk with God. And when it comes to this aspect, I like to see Some of you even putting on paper. We are going to write some of the ways we want to see you do it, but I want your own response. Teaching people to walk with God should include you saying, we will prepare yearly devotionals which will give people what they can pray about each week, each month, scriptures to use, how to go through the Bible in a year. Because sometimes you ask people, are you praying? Are you having your devotions? All they say is yes. But it depends on what they are praying about. So we need to actually teach people how to walk with God. Not everybody knows how to walk with God. Not everybody knows how to walk with you. But some people have studied you and they know how to walk with you. So it is our responsibility to teach people to know how to walk with God. In the next 20 years, we want to see people who are in KRCC that they are not just merely claiming church membership. You now find that when churches add years, some of their members are just members by either birth or association. They don't even know what Christ is about over the years. But the essence of making people to spiritually walk with God must not be missing in what we do. No, internationally, we want to be a sending church. Aha. And here I mean that, for example, in the UK, we are in the process of getting branches to stand and be individual charities, even though they are KRCC. Once they become individual charities, we don't want them to be glad they are standing. KRCC, Southwest, when we call it Open Door, as the name is, because eventually we believe that building, Crystal Palace, must be open. KRCC, Open Door, must be a sending church. It must pioneer local churches here in the UK and must help us to send missionary abroad. And when I come to missions, I shall say some things about missions. We want to radically change the way we do missions because as it is now, it is costly and we need to redefine how we do it. Is somebody hearing me? We must be a sending church internationally. We must be a seeding church, you know, that sowing seed into works. You may just find that you are not the one who pioneered a church in Kofori Dua, Ghana, but you heard they need a roof. There's no reason why in one Sunday morning you could not help to pay to do the roofing. Somebody hearing me? I was in a place recently in Nigeria, some woman who sold land to me, and then there's issue with the land, and I found that when I went to meet her, she was also a minister. She had built a church without a roof. She put the roof on one quarter of the church, and I could afford to help her put the remaining roof. So I told her, we'll do the roof for you. Now, I don't even know the name of our church. So we must be a seeding church internationally, and each branch, each local church needs to wake up to this. In fact, when you respond, we would like to know how in the next 20 years, KICC, Grace, where are you going? How many churches do you want to plant? It's not just wanting to grow and say, yes, we are growing to be a mega church. No. In fact, part of your sending should be you take 15 members and send them to, I think there's an island somewhere in Essex. What's the name of the island? Canvey Island. Go and start another branch, although it must be a sustainable branch. And don't call Prayer City for the money to sustain them. A sending church, a seeding church, and then by serving and planting women, it must be a church. We want to be churches that are not only planting, we're also serving the work where we have sent people so that they stand until they stand. And we must do this until everyone has heard the gospel. We need to grow. We need to get out of where we are. We need to get out of our mold. We bless God for this past 20 years, but the next 20 years should be stretching out, expressing out, reaching out tentacles, going places we've never been. Individual churches should do this. That's why I keep saying and I keep emphasizing, every time you centralize power, money, grace, you never grow. Everything must be decentralized. Prayer City must not be the one that determines how sugar is bought in grace. The people who pastor grace are adults. It must stop those things. I mean, when you give a man a job and do it in his place, you make him an emotional cripple. Howard Hendricks, Dallas Theological Seminary. Every local church must be a standing church, must control their own destiny, of course, with accountability. Must control their own destiny, must be able to stand on their own. In fact, they must just learn. Even if they are making mistakes, we help them to overcome the mistake and move on. Praise God. Now, organizationally, want to be missions equipping. And looks like I repeated myself here, but there's a need for me to do that. Missions equipping organizationally. In other words, we want to really radically change. That's why I keep repeating the need to grow, the need to plant, the need to send, the need to open churches, the need to change how we do things. I didn't want to stay too long on the organization because by December, you're going to get, many of us know some of KICC's manual of operation according to your department, but it's going to be a book. It was supposed to be at this IGOC, but it's so voluminous. It's going to be like 300-400 pages. So we decided, let's do it well, let's edit it well, and it will be available for people to even purchase from December. The operational manual of KICC on every area, leaders, deacons, this one, how this is run, training, every aspect. The organizational manual will be out in December. Financially, every local church needs to realize that in order for us to make the impact we are to make, we've got to raise financial champions. The pastor cannot just sit and say, oh, well, I don't want to teach on finance, so nobody looks at me and says, ah, he's only teaching on finance. KICC is committed to raising financial champions. And part of the reason is that it is when you have financial champions that they can make your vision happen by the seed they sow. So there has to be a clear goal set by branches, by nations, KICC Nigeria, KICC Ghana, South Africa, the local branches need to set visions of teaching people to be financially healthy. You find that sometimes also the church is so busy rescuing people who get themselves in financial trouble. And some of the financial troubles is because somebody either has never been taught, or when they were taught, they just disobeyed the scripture. Once we've taught and taught, before a person will get any form of welfare, there are conditions they should meet. Don't just give everybody who wants welfare. Is someone hearing me? So we want to be financially a church that raises kingdom millionaires, that teaches financial health to our members, and to be financially buoyant to run the vision. The resource is out there, but we need to know how to challenge people to be able to be producers themselves, to increase and become better. Supernaturally, we want to be a church that it is not only the pastor that is moving in the gifts of the Spirit. Pastors must themselves, from now on, every service, pray for the sick. Pray and expect the supernatural. Don't be afraid to do it. Lay hands on the sick. If you prayed on headache and increased, pray again. And you pray again, the thing increase the more, pray again. One day the sickness will obey you because it has to obey you and it must leave. KRCC does not want, we have a problem right now in the body of Christ, particularly among charismatics, where people are drawn only to a manifestation of gifts. I want to see us become a church where everyone is anointed, gifted, and they are anointed, they are gifted, just needs a stirring. So we need to supernaturally challenge the people to move in all the gifts. We need to challenge them to be deep in devotion to God. We need to challenge the people to be powerful in prayer, firm in fasting. And we need to raise members to walk in the supernatural. So that, for example, as you and I sit here today, there are offices we may not be able to access. And particularly when a person has a name, pastor, like I do, there are places that will not open to me. But a member can enter that place because that's where he works. So I want to see a judge who can pray for fellow judges to receive healing. I want to see a lawyer who can pray for a fellow lawyer for cancer to disappear. I want to see a person who is into HR talking to another HR person and they received supernatural touch. Many of these people, sometimes they look at the church afar off. They only observe. They are not connected. Listen, it has to be a teaching. All the pastors who are listening to me do. We must teach it. It has to be part of a regular teaching, challenging the people how to move in the gifts of God, how to experience the miraculous, how to move in the miraculous, how to fast, how to pray, how to have a devotion with God, how to hear the voice of God. Supernaturally, in the next 20 years, want to be a church truly equipping people to really be all out for God. And then, we want to be a united church, united in message. Please, it would be nice for a person to leave KICC, Prayer City, and he is in Grace or is in another branch and the message is the same. If you do not believe in the message of a house, you don't stay there. You do not stay there. We are preaching the full gospel of Jesus Christ. But as you know, most times, people will have a certain trajectory and a particular revelation God has given them. God has given us in this house the revelation of raising champions, building champions, making winners out of people. And so we need to be united in the message. In the message. And that, I mean... thousands and thousands. Nobody will ever say, why did you take that Pastor Matthew's message and re-preach it? In fact, something that happens in Ghana is that the pastor will not only preach it, he will carry my books. He will also say, all these books of Pastor Matthew are in the bookshop. You need to get them. Now, if you just put them aside, never talk about that. It shows how important they are to you as a branch pastor. It shows how important. And the books were not written because they bring economic advantage, but it's because I feel I need to get these things out. That's why I've written 86. Not everybody has written 86. Some people don't use those mediums. I try to use every medium to release everything God has put in my spirit for it to be out there. But if a person says, I'm in the house, doesn't even make reference, doesn't talk about them, and we need to stay in the message, united in the message. In the next 20 years, we need to do that. United in the motive of the ministry. I don't want to enter a place and I'm wondering, why are they doing this? What is the purpose of this one? And I'm trying to find a motive. United in focus. And a member in one church is a member in all the churches. So are ministers. If a minister leaves Prayer City and is visiting Accra, if he didn't tell them before he came, that's his own problem. Really, what you should do if you are a pastor and you are going to another city where there's KRCC is to let them know you are coming. Because when you read that city, you are in submission to that pastor. I don't care if your name is whatever. When you enter another city, you are in submission to the pastor there. It is, and if the pastor therefore shows up there, he's not to be negated, neglected, and sits just anywhere. He should be given the same honor of a minister where he just came out from as a pastor, a minister in KRCC. If you are a deacon in London and you showed up in Accra and you let them know on time, if they wanted you to serve with their deacons, you flow because you're a member in one. Because we have the same standard, we make people go through the same process before they became leaders. Is somebody getting something? Then we want our church to be an empowerment center. The purpose of the body of Christ is to equip. The Bible says so, Ephesians 4:11, and he gave the church pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, apostles for the equipping of the church. We must be an empowerment center. As we look into the next 20 years, KRCC is not as socially involved as it should be. We need to do more of that. We need to do more of that. When I was in South Africa recently, they had some blankets to give people in a particular camp where very poor people live. How many blankets? 200? 250 blankets. It may not cost much, but it's impactful. Social involvement. We must be seen on the social scene doing something. Social scene doing something. This year, you know, in the previous years, we've just announced if you have dry food, these for Christmas, please bring it. Our unit will take it to the homeless. We will need to do better than that. We'll probably take a survey, have an agreement with the mayor in the area, and package food and let people know the day we want to give it out, package gifts. That's what we should do this Christmas. Same thing in all our churches. You know, at a point, people react to the church. If all they see is that, for example, when churches are big, they block the roads, traffic is very bad, your members come, they go, and they who are in the area only get the impact, but they never see anything from the church. It has to change. In the next 20 years, we need to be socially involved. We need to raise civic leaders. Society will continue to be bad until the church realizes it has a responsibility to raise politicians. We need to begin to instigate our members to become politicians, but not that alone. We need to instigate our members to be good citizens. Stop complaining about the government. Do something yourself. Get involved. Run for local politics. You know, we've had all kinds of battles in whole street, which some of it the members don't even know. But it's because 99% or 80% of the councillors, they are Muslims. Hardcore. Left to them, there will be no car park anymore. They had already sold it technically underground to a Muslim school. Can you imagine? Before we had to now begin to raise hire lawyers to fight them. If we also had counselors who were in the system, we are not a small fry in the borough, but we just bury our head all the time. We're just interested in our midweek and Sunday service. It must change. It must change. We need to do something. We need to also, the pastors, we all need to change our message. Let even politicians who hear us preaching know that we're saying, hey, we are friendly. Come in. We want to strengthen you to be a good one. In the next 20 years, we also want to build schools. Any of our church that has extra land must not just be building department. They must build schools. That's how to get young families. That's how, and I think Accra is about to get approval for their church school building. Praise God. Isn't that something? If we have a building with 10 rooms that is lying fallow, it must turn to a school. If there are laws that are difficult, find a way to overcome the law. If the church cannot run it for the moment, let's change the system. And let me challenge KRCC London right now. They should reduce. We should reduce how much we are charging the young lady who is running a nursery in Danley Road. It should be peppercorn rate because she's also keeping the building alive. She's touching people. She's our member. You know, all the time we dance to regulators who say, are you charging enough? You are a charity. You must make money. She is a giver. Others are givers. Freely we were given. So we must find a way to turn the building, you know. It must change. We really must change. We shouldn't allow some infidel to continue to determine how we run as the body of Christ. For every law, there is a way around. There is a way around. There is a way around. It's interesting to realize that many times the very people who scream on you take advantage of the system because they know how to walk the system. We also must learn to walk the system. That's why Jesus said we must be wise as. One of these days I'm going to preach on serpents. And I'll bring them to the church. Now I'll put it on the altar. And put some on the aisles. Just joking. Also, the church needs to run businesses. And we need to put skilled people to run the business. Again, we must change, even in London. Every time we have run a business, we put staff in the office to determine how it runs. That staff, have they run a business before? Were they successful with the business? If they've never run a business, we take it out of their hand. Because I have a master's in business does not mean I can run business. There are some streetwise people who don't even have any degree. Right people must run things for us. We need businesses that are making impact. One of the churches we sometimes laugh at, we think they are being a bit weird, is a church in Finsbury Park that occupies the old Rainbow Theater. What's the name of that church? UKGC or CG. Okay. They have businesses in Brazil. While the Brazilian churches were mocking them, they began to buy every available property in the center of the city. They opened up bookshops. They opened up radio stations, restaurants. Now they are a force. The government respects them. They are members of parliament. You may say, oh yeah, they are blessing salt, water, anointing oil. While somebody was criticizing them, they were expanding. We need to change our business plan as a church. We need to look down the road 20 years. There should be businesses by now in KRCC London, which its income is almost close to the whole tithe of the church. Because there are many rivers that bring water to the sea. We shouldn't teach it for members to take home. It should also be the church practicing. Did that make sense? And the message of the house must be practiced by everyone. Very important. Then equipping. We need to equip every department better than we've done. Better. In our King's Kids ministry, TNT, KM, Winning Women, Men of Honor, it must be with the intent to discover people. There are gifted people in our midst. There are gifted young people. We need to discover them. Every time the church gets into this place where the same people run things all the time, we are in danger. We are in danger. We need to discover people. We need to discover them. It's important. We need to equip. From now on, please, King's Kids must not be a place where children are kept when adults are having service. And that has never been, but we want to say in the next 20 years, we want to see the definition of King's Kids from even the people who are there. Tell us how, when children are given to you, how you want to develop them to be real King's Kids, how you want to equip them. We want to see a plan for TNT over the next 19, 20 years. How will teenagers who come to our church become the best? I must confess to you, shamefully, some of the teenagers that are rocking Britain, some went through KICC. Dizzy Rascal, the musician, was once in KICC TNT. How many have heard of Dizzy Rascal? These adults. I don't know where you are. Let me see. How many have heard of Dizzy Rascal? He is the biggest black musician, I think, or the biggest rapper in the whole of Europe. The whole of Europe. I know you don't like that his name, Dizzy Rascal, but he had to take a stage name. It's not serious today, but there was a time. He was in AT&T. What were we teaching him? I don't know. Of course, people will have to make up their mind. We also have people we celebrate who have become winners, champions, doctors, nurses, different things. But we're saying we've had opportunities. For the ones coming the next 20 years, let's do something. Let's discover, let's develop. Everyone who comes through us, we must see someone whom we can develop. Lastly, we must deploy them. Believe in people, pastors, leaders. Don't use the same hand. Believe in people. That's why we believed in you when you couldn't do it perfectly. The purpose of the church is to believe in people and commit them to do something. I think last for this part is celebration. Celebration is, in other words, in the next 20 years, we need to change our music from a dull, I mean, it's not dull, but we need to upbeat our music, turn things around, ask for gifted people who have been sitting in the house to manifest, show themselves. We need to stretch our music department to be consecrated music, celebratory music, contemporary music, but very vibrant, uplifting, and edifying. Vibrant, uplifting, and edifying. This is very, very important. Very important. And I hope you got something from that. I said, I hope you got something from that. My real teaching was supposed to be much. They haven't emailed me my. Well, I'll just start, and then when it comes in, I'll stop wherever I can stop. I'd like to share with you 15 lessons from the ant. And I call it, I've called my teaching 15 Lessons from Ant Hill Business School. I'm not sure if they've emailed it to them upstairs, but I do hope they've done so. Open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verses 24 to 28. Can somebody help me read it now? Let someone help me to read, or you haven't found it? Okay, I'll read myself. There are four things which are little on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. The rock badgers are a feeble folk, yet they make their homes in the crags. The locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. The spider skillfully grasps with its hands, and it is in king's palaces. Also, I like to read Proverbs 6, verse 6 to 8. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which have no captain, overseer, or ruler, but provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Amen. The ant is one of the most unique creatures of God. When you stand beside one, it is almost, I mean, it is not, it is almost, you may almost not see it. You have to have sharp eyes to see the ant down on the ground when you are standing. It is less than probably 5 million of your size, maybe 10 million or even more of your size. Yet, the Bible gives us a picture of the capacity of the ant. Some people have also taken the time to study the ant. In fact, during my study, I was amazed how truly people do study things. One guy was studying the ants to see how they can use ants to fight future warfare. And they found certain ants that are warrior ants. And they said, it's been locked into their brain not to do anything but to fight, to protect where all the other ants live. And so they were looking for ways to even equip them more and target them to go to some places. And you know, if an ant comes against a house, even you will have to run out. You know, you'll have to run out. I was in KRCC University, and there are some ants on the ground, and we had asked this guy to go bring the insecticide to pour on the area. And I think he went and stood where they are. Before long, they had gone into his pants. All we saw was that as he's talking, he's doing this. As he's talking again, he's doing that. I wouldn't tell you which one, but one of our speakers during this IGOC in one of his books said one day he was preaching, only to find that an ant had entered his trouser, and while he was preaching, the thing began to bite him. As he was preaching, the thing was biting him, and it was so painful, so he made up his mind, okay, I will finish this ministration and come back to deal with this ant. Ants are amazing. I was watching on Discovery Channel recently an ant that traveled a mile with the food it had carried following its own scent, which it had left on 1 mile. There are several things, 15 of them. I'll share like three or four in this session before Dr. Otterbill comes to take the next session. And maybe in my last session, I'll continue where I stopped. 15 lessons from Ant Hill Business School. Number one is teamwork. Teamwork. I like you to say teamwork. The amazing truth about ants is they have no one clearly defined leader, yet they work with such effective relationship. Many people, in fact, in my own culture, they used to think that the one who the big one in the ant hill was their king. Whereas it's not so. Actually, she is a queen, and her only function is to produce almost 1 million eggs and die 40 days later. The queen only exists for 40 days. They feed her. She produces over 1 million eggs and dies within 40 days of her existence. The day she dies, then they eat her up themselves, because she is full-blown protein. And so they have no king, no leader, and yet their teamwork is amazing. Everyone has to be clear as to the purpose of a team. If you want to have a team, the first thing is that everyone has to be clear as to the purpose of a team. In other words, when we work in teams, either as individuals here, or if you are a minister and you set up a team, it's important that everyone be recognized. Everyone has to be clear as to the purpose of the team. Number two, everyone must feel a part of the team. We don't want leaders who are just the shooting star and nobody can work with you. They give you a department and everyone's running away because you are too strong. You talk down at people. It doesn't honor Christ. You know, particularly if the church also is losing members, i.e. workers, because they were under you. So team means everyone feeling a part of the team. Communication within the team must be clear and open. Communication must be clear and open. In other words, what they want to do must be known to everyone. The eventual goal of the team must come through the input of members. The eventual goal of the team must be through the input of the members. Then the skill of the individual members of the team must be effectively used. A great deal of respect for each individual team member must be expressed. Because I serve under you don't mean I am not an individual. I am a person. I'm an individual. I am gifted. And I serve with you, under you, but you need to respect my individuality, and I am not to be trampled upon. Is somebody hearing me? People have feelings, and their feelings need to be regarded, respected, honored, and valued. Teamwork is what will get you more. If a leader begins to form cliques, and you just get 2 out of 7 and say, yeah, you are the only one who understand me, and the other 5 keep being observers, you create problem, you create schisms, you create division, you hurt the body of Christ, you allow room for whispers. So the number one thing we see in ants is teamwork. I wish they would load it on the screen for you. I don't know what's happening. A great deal of respect for each individual team member must be expressed. It must be expressed. In other words, the people have an opinion. Conflicts must be openly addressed and resolved. If there is a point of conflict, the leader cannot run away from it. It needs to be addressed. It needs to be resolved before there is a moving forward. Before there is a going ahead. Then, the skill of the individual member of the team must be effectively used. The reason I am part of a place is that I am part of the chain link. And since I am part of the chain link, someone is supposed to regard what I do and respect my grace. A great deal of respect for each person. It's so important. Every member of the team must feel encouraged and supported by the other members. Leadership is not only about the one in front. It's important that the people who serve with the leader realize that they are supposed to input the life of the person who they work with. The eventual purpose of the team must be the evolution of each member as a unique person and a future leader. The evolution of each person. I often say it, that if we make you a leader and we cannot replace you, you are not a leader. True leadership must be such that you have reproduced many of your kind. And of course, there will be your uniqueness that is difficult for a replacement. But at the same time, you should develop people who can adequately run things because you, through observation, through clarification, and through information, they have been challenged to rise to the level of the leader. Essentially, people should rise to the levels of a leader. And you see nations where the presidents perpetuate their office. And they say, because there's no one like me. It's either a joke, or somebody is hugging power by force, or they are afraid of something. When it goes for first time, 4 years. Second term, 4 years. Third term, 4 years. And then you have fourth term, fifth term. A nation that have millions of people. How did he evolve? How did he evolve? Somebody must have believed in his gifting and made him to evolve. So teamwork is so key. Each member of the team must make the vision also of the organization a matter of absolute commitment. If you have people in your team who serve with you, they need to see the vision of the organization has been paramount. They need to see it as paramount, and they cannot work against the vision of the organization. They need to run with the vision of the organization, run with the dreams of the organization, run with what the organization wants to achieve. It's very important, very important. So it's very important for us to work as a team, to build as a team. Once the vision of the house, or the vision that brings us together, is negated, avoided, everything begins to come apart. And once individuals begin to do what they like, there will be trouble. And this leads to some of the issues we've had in recent times. When people go to a department and ask that a policy be changed, it creates problems. It is important that if we are to work as a team, anything that you felt was new for your area needs to go through the proper channel, or else there will be huge issues, huge problems, because you have put that person on the spot to make a decision they don't have powers to make. If the choir came to the sound people and said, we want somebody to always be here on Thursday and on Saturday to run the system for us, they need to let us know. That way, we are operating as a team. We know that, okay, there'll be someone there on Thursday. Again, not the choir member going to put the sound on. This is £600,000. Sound, light, and the stage. It's £600,000. So when somebody who doesn't know about it is looking for how the mic works, and they say, I was just trying my best, we should not say, because it belongs to the church, oh, I'm just volunteering. It needs to be done in a way that shows excellence. Part of teamwork is for it to be in such synchronization that we know that somebody needed it and the proper thing was put in place. Not two people having agreed. It creates issues, problems, and throws everything out of balance. Throws everything out of balance. Did you get something from that? Father, we pray that that which we have shared today will bless your people. We pray for now to 2032 that you will strengthen our vision, make our vision clear. Help us to be champions, winners. Help us, Lord, to make the dreams and aspirations you have placed in our heart to become reality. We give you praise. We thank you because it shall be done. Your name will be glorified. Your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name. We take 5 minutes song as we get ready for the next speaker. Let's welcome Helen.